I like your version better.
Thank you. I don't even know what that song is. Oh, you can hear us.
Yes, they can.
What happened?
I just changed it. On the, yeah. I tried the
Oh, sorry, Rhonda. Guys, okay, like, listen.
It's so loud. Why is it so listen. Hot? Thank you. Andrea likes the red.
Yeah, it's freezing in here. That's why it's hot in here, because the heat is on.
For Beth.
I told Steph to wear red today. And we were talking about color theory last night, and I was presenting myself as an expert, and I am not. I know two things about color theory, but I share them freely. Let me share them with you. Everybody, look at your veins, okay? Just look at your veins.
Oh, man.
Boy, this is... Let me do what Sheila did right here.
I just want to...
Okay. Okay. So my veins, you can't see.
We can't see anything. This is not happening.
Okay. You want a picture? Okay, based on your veins, if your veins are blue, you are a cool. I'm a cool. If your veins are green, more green than blue, you're warm. It's 50% of my knowledge right there. Okay. I am
You'll
a cool.
You'll have to pay and subscribe for the rest.
Yeah.
What if your veins are purple?
Oh, I've heard about that.
What if you got one of each?
You know what I think?
Brooke, you look good in everything.
Somebody last night said, I've heard maybe I'm a neutral. I'm like, probably.
I don't know.
I shared with you. Love that, Cheryl. Purple, you're royal.
Blood in these veins.
No. Cool winter, Rhonda. Wow. Mm. That means you can wear like red, right? You can wear like stronger colors. As a cool summer, I look very washed out. I'm not supposed to wear black, but
I love black.
I tried on this dress at Old Navy. I took a picture of it in the mirror. I was like, I feel like $1 million in this dress.
You look like $2 million in it.
Nobody knows me. Oh, sorry. I'll stop. Anyway, jewel tones, Rhonda. Love that.
Ooh. Okay. Well, happy feast day.
Happy feast.
It starts there.
In honor of the feast, I'm drinking coffee.
In honor of the feast, I already finished my coffee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is St. Joseph's feast day.
Happy feast
day. Happy feast day. Mm-hmm. Also the baptism anniversary of our son, Benji.
Sweetie.
And they're probably watching, so.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Yeah, so I told Beth, and she's like, so clearly we have to go get some ice cream today. So how are you guys celebrating feast
day? I was going to tell you this out there, but I thought I'd spring it on you here live.
Ooh.
You know, in the old days, on feast days, mm-hmm. people did like penance. They didn't celebrate feast days.
Mm.
That's what I hear, at least. Mm. I'm no expert. Where's Kendra Tierney? She could tell us better. Her liturgical living wisdom.
I love that. Given how Lent is in, or how his feast day is in Lent. I'll leave the suffering to the other days and celebrate today.
That's true. I mean, we do. It's a solemnity, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's not even a feast. It's
like a solemnity. Today should look different.
Whoa. I started veiling 2 years ago today.
Whoa.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Wow. Congrats.
Thank you.
He's a patron saint of Canada.
Aaron, is that true? That is so lovely. Renee. Renee, it's a thing. I'm trying to convince Renee to get ice cream all the time.
Always ice cream.
I'm like, celebrate with ice cream.
Yeah, look, cake and ice cream for Suzanne's son.
Look at this, Steph. Jenna says you look amazing in red. We talked about color theory last night.
Yeah. So thank you. I told Renee to take her husband for ice cream.
I agree.
Guys.
I agree. Lexi, that's very sweet. Yeah, I have a friend, hi Brie. She's not watching. She is so good at liturgical feast days, particularly the Solemnity of St. Joseph. And she would make these little cream puff desserts. I want to say they were called like Zapoli. Somebody's going to correct me in 3, 2. Oh, thanks, Lexi. Yeah. So anyway, I've dreamt of those ever since I had them when I lived in Flagstaff and celebrated. Wow. I think we did pasta maybe, and there was a reason she had like some fabulous meaningful reason why we had the meal. And then she made those homemade, beautiful desserts. Why always Italian food?
You can't go wrong with Italian
food. Okay, but why? Because he wasn't Italian, you know?
Yeah. Lexi's like, I'm thinking like I can come up with an answer, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you just saying like always Italian food to celebrate because you love it? Or what am I going to do tonight?
Gotta do something.
I'm going to pray. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to make a holy hour.
But you do that every day. How's today going to look different?
I'm praying with the Sisters of Life.
Okay, then that's amazing.
I know.
I did the consecration to St. Joseph for the first time this year.
Linda, that's awesome.
I'm celebrating by praying for my husband, my father, and all the men I know.
That is so beautiful.
Wow.
I heard this, it was just a soundbite from a podcast, and it was talking about siblings, actually. But, okay, the language of it, I think, applies here. She said, how often are we praying for our siblings?
Every day.
Or are we praying about our siblings? Like about what's wrong with them or why they need to change or like the tension in our relationship. But instead we need to be praying for them mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. Like Steph, of course. And I feel that way about the men in our lives. Like are we totally. Praying about the things going on with men or are we praying for men?
Can I tell you that Mary
was mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
Blessed mother.
Queen,
virgin, most
all of those.
Yeah.
She was the one that helped me or nudged me to start praying for my husband instead of praying about my husband.
Wow.
And I wasn't like, it wasn't even a direct like petition that I was like, I wasn't like I was bringing him up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all the time. But I remember was like, it was just like, yeah, like this next rosary will be for him, even though you're grumpy. And it was like, I didn't think that I can like stop being grumpy in that moment.
Yeah.
And then it just turned into like this compassion and I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Total grace. Yeah. So yeah, definitely felt tons better afterwards when I realized like I wasn't praying like in spite of how upset I was or whatever. I was praying literally for him.
Classic
Mary.
Rosary.
Yeah.
Classic Mary. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm getting some insight here on the Italian food. Apparently it's Father's Day in Italy.
Ooh.
Is that why? They do Father's Day on St. Joseph's Solemnity. That is so amazing.
Guys, my Peruvian grandparents are coming into town tonight.
What?
And my grandma is half Italian.
Steph, this is color theory. These comments are blowing up about you in red. This is what I'm saying.
Thanks, friends. I've always been scared to wear red. I've started praying for my ex-boyfriend because I know the struggles that he has in his life and it's not about me.
Wow. That's very kind.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're getting ice cream later.
I'm
going to do a holy hour later. What are you guys doing to celebrate? Can't wait to hear.
And also post it on the Liturgical Living channel.
Ooh, I love that idea. Wendy says, my husband is a non-practicing Catholic and I did the novena. He didn't know. He spontaneously asked when I was going to mass. Like he asked to go with you? That's kind of amazing. Wow. Agree, Cheryl. Wow. Agree about Steph in red.
Guys. I secretly prayed a novena too. I like secret novenas. They're funny. Mass this evening and then devotion to the Holy Face.
Beautiful, Anne.
Wow.
Wow.
Going out with your besties because your husband is traveling.
You guys going to ice cream, Renee?
We know of a spot. If anybody goes to Cold Stone to stumble across a guy with a parrot on his shoulder, would you please let us
know? Listen, I want to talk about this for a second because I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe. Or I am 80 years old and I have just become that man in the movie Up who is like upset about everything. You never saw Up?
I started and I fell asleep.
What are you talking about? Anyway, Aubrey, get on this. Okay, I feel like I'm becoming this like crotchety whatever. These young kids, I don't know.
You got to put your thumb away. You can't do thumbs up.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I went to Cold Stone the other night. And I'm in line. And I hear behind me this like high-pitched, it was like a character. And I'm like, I just have a thing, like just put in headphones. if you're playing a video game, if you're watching Reels or TikTok, like just put in headphones. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not watching TikTok. Like, I don't want to hear it. And I'm like, wow, this is like a lot. It's like ongoing. So I try to like casually turn and look around, and there is literally the person behind me in line has a bird on their shoulder, and they are speaking to this bird as though it is a customer at the Cold Stone restaurant. They're saying, "Do you want some ice cream? What kind of ice cream do you want?" And the bird is going, the people are literally going to feed this bird ice cream. And I'm like, what is, I took a picture. I literally took a picture because, and I left a voice memo for Jen and Father Parks because I'm like, you are not going to believe what is happening here. I am a customer in front of a bird, in front of an actual bird. And I'm going to do an impression of the cutie pies working at Cold Stone. They're scraping the ice cream. They're going, whoa.
They're like, whoa, that's crazy.
And I'm like, this is unsanitary. This is unsanitary. Why are you bringing your bird in here? And Steph's like, maybe with an emotional support parent. That is, I am calling it. Do you know what I mean? Can we stop pretending this is a thing? Like, this is unbelievable. This is like not, this is not, you guys, I'm telling it and it's funny. It was not funny in the moment. I'm like, first of all, that's very unsanitary. I feel like birds are very dirty. Isn't that true? They literally, their cage is their litter box, for lack of a better word. Well, you're putting it on your body. You're kissing it. You're kissing this bird and sharing ice cream with it. And then what if this bird just feels the freedom to flap its dirty wings around the store and wants to taste test behind the glass all of the other flavors?
What if you get your ice cream and it lands on you? It just goes in for a little taste.
I was so upset about it. I am like, what is happening? Also, can everybody stop wearing pajamas in public? Like, I am getting so old. Why are we... My Lyft driver who picked me up from the mechanic this morning was wearing a silk bonnet. And I'm like, sir, why?
What? I defended him.
What's happening in America that we're bringing birds to ice cream parlors and we're wearing silk bonnets at work? What is this? Do you know what I mean? I could show you. I'm going to show
everyone
you.
Everyone wants the picture of the bird.
I'm going to show you the picture of the bird. I need to blur out the woman's
face. First of all,
face.
This guy's not going anywhere. He's in a Lyft. He's not technically, you are in his space technically.
Okay. I am paying a heck of a lot of money to be in his space during rush hour.
You know what I mean? It's public, AKA his car.
Unbelievable. Also, don't get me started on Lyft. Like, if you're going to pick me up, if you're going to claim, if I have to pay a lot of money,
oh my gosh.
Like, could you get this car detailed? Like, I might as well pick people up. You know what I mean? Yes. I'm going to just start charging people. Where's the bird?
We should, like, do a Lyft, but, like, evangelize.
Oh, here it is. Oh my gosh. I'll show you. There. I'll get the woman out of the picture. Can you see this? You guys. That is too much. Look at the Cold Stone in the back. Can you even handle that? Yeah. I honestly, I didn't want to talk to him. I wasn't feeling it. Anyway, I'm turning off the heat. I'm getting fired up. Steph, what do the people think?
They're saying that they can't with you. Oh, I was totally envisioning a giant macaw, but still. Yeah, I told her, I said, you never know. It's like 2024. It's probably an emotional support parrot.
The heat is off.
Thank the Lord. It's a little steamy in here. Don't look at the desk. I didn't clean it up.
Oh, that's fine. They know I work here. It's fine.
The bird poop.
You guys, isn't that so real? Like, hi, Susie. Hello. Welcome. Okay, ooh. I've heard about these cat cafes, but like I didn't sign up to go to a bird ice cream parlor. Do you know what I mean? Like if you put on the sign, like birds and ice cream, I wouldn't go there. But that's just me.
Yeah.
You know?
Beth, I want to know what you even got there.
Oh.
What's your go-to
Cold Stone order? Well, the reason I've started going to Cold Stone is because they have a silk ice cream. So I can actually get a flavor rather than a sorbet because when I try not to do dairy, you know? So my go-to ice cream as a kid was Rocky Road, which I don't even like Rocky chocolate, Road. But I just, it's so nostalgic for me, Rocky Road. So I get the silk chocolate ice cream, almonds, and extra marshmallows.
Ooh.
Wow, I'm not shy about that. I like a little extra marshmallows.
I'm all about that.
Yeah, silk is like almond milk. It's a brand of almond milk
substitute.
Stop.
They have dairy free at Cold Stone. Any further Cold Stone questions, you can message Aubrey. She used to work there. So,
Sophia, first of all, the bonnet thing I really get because I leave the house with a towel on my head if my hair is still wet. Curls come first. And listen, I support you, but don't charge me $31 to ride with you while you're in your pajamas.
Why?
You
know? Wait, first of all, he wasn't wearing pajamas.
You're telling me he doesn't sleep in that bonnet. That's what that's okay, for.
You think the bonnet is a pajama? He was wearing a muscle shirt and basketball shorts.
Yeah.
That's not pajamas anyway, to some God people.
God bless him. God bless Michael, sweetie.
Oh, Michael.
Oh. Oh, Susie, no. Susie's on the way from one airport to another. She went to the wrong airport.
Susie,
you're in Jesus' name, you're gonna make it. I pray that peace would overflow in you, be poured out over you, that you would make it through security with no issues, no hiccups. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Saint Joseph.
This is what I am saying, Anya. Just dress for work. That's all I'm saying. I also saw this reel that was like, what do 35 to 40 year olds like do? Like, where do they hang out? And it's that guy that's always like, come here. And he like zooms in and he's like, they don't go anywhere. They don't do anything. He's like, do you know what people in their 40s hate? They hate loud noises, crowds, and traffic. And I was like, oh my gosh, how do you know me? How do you see my soul?
That is so funny.
I hate all of those things so much.
Aubrey, that was me yesterday when we had our staff meeting and I was not dressed like everyone else. I was like, I'm home and my kids are sick.
You did not look well.
I was not unwell.
Megan, I promise we are talking about the feast. We are talking about the feast today. Aw, Obs, that's different. You're working from home. You know what I mean? You guys, I'm not trying to judge anyone. I'm just trying to bring a little class.
I just love that this happens to Beth. I think it's great.
Really?
Yeah, I do. It's funny.
I mean, okay. I'm saving that picture forever and ever.
You have to.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you guys, you can wear PJs. You're at home. You know what I mean? That's fine. That's fine. Anyway, we are talking about St. Joseph, and not specifically about St. Joseph. I actually wanted to talk about men. Because I love men, because we need men, and because I feel like men right now
need it.
They need it.
They need us.
Yeah. I feel like we can be hard on men. I feel like society is particularly hard on men. Culture right now is very hard on men. As I'm being literally hard on my Lyft driver and the guy with the phone on his shoulder.
This man came to pick you up today.
This is actually so true. Yeah, I think men need a lot of help. And here's what I am very fond of saying, and I don't mean this with an ounce of condescension. I mean this totally matter-of-factly. I think it is very hard to be a man. I think it is very hard to be a man. I think there's a lot of cultural conversation about how hard it is to be a woman. I disagree. And I've heard Jordan Peterson say this, and I was like, this one example for me sums up, we are totally blind to reality. When people talk about how historically, like, women have had such a hard time, and he's like, what about war? I'm like, literally that one example is like, yeah, thank God for men. Thank God. For men, I needed a man this morning at the mechanic. I'm not trying to be cute about that. I like need a man. I do. And I'm not expecting him to do things that I'm good at, but I honor and I revere and I thank God for the things that men are generally better at than women. Yeah. Hi, Yesenia. Welcome. Yes, Megan, our men need so much more respect and encouragement than they receive. Respect is like a currency for men.
Yeah. When I was listening, we were engaged, and my spiritual director at the time, he was like, there's this podcast between, I think, a deacon and his son, and it's called the Love and Respect Podcast.
Cool.
And it talks about how women.
That's a JP2 book, isn't it?
Love and Responsibility, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. But how even it talks about Ephesians 5, and it talks about how, like, women want love, want to receive love. Yes. Men, like, desire respect and that reverence, and that's how they ultimately receive love. And so that has always been a good perspective for me to remember that, like, my husband doesn't need the love that I need. He needs the respect of who he is.
Yes.
For my family, for our relationship. I'm not the best at it. You've heard me talk about it multiple times, but just that idea of, like, women want love, men want respect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I saw this, Aubrey, I saw a YouTube short that I haven't stopped thinking about, and thank God it came up again. Someone else reacted to it, because to me, it most succinctly speaks to a man's deep, like, primal desire to provide and protect. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's an interview with John Mayer. Brace yourselves.
Ooh.
It's a, like, podcast interview with John Mayer. And he said, my fantasy, he's like, I want to get married. Like, I'm really a traditional guy. Like, I want marriage and family. And he said, and my, like, highest fantasy, my goal in life, Belen, what a gal, is that my wife would one day be able to say, call John, he'll know what to do.
Oh my God.
Is that the most beautiful thing? I could start crying right now. I have teared up every time I've watched that. I have chills. I've heard that multiple times, and I think about it probably every single day, that all he wants is for someone to say, call John, he'll know what to do. All he wants is someone who believes that he would know what to do, that he could take care of it. Isn't that incredible?
That's so sweet.
I just think that's, what's the word? Microcosm? Example is too poor. I think, what's the word
standard?
I'm looking for, you guys? No, it's like the one example that sums up, like, a whole thing. Is it microcosm?
Sure.
You guys, somebody help me. Can someone translate for me? Anyway.
Okay, can I read this real quick?
Not quite snapshot, but thank you, Morgan. Yeah, please.
Ephesians 5. Why not? It says, wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything to their husbands. Talks about respect.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word.
Yeah.
So again, even that, just that distinction even in scripture, like, this is modeling, and obviously Ephesians 5 is just alluding to, like, Christ and the church. But I think that this is for not just for married couples, like, this is for all of the men in our lives and the men that we get to encounter, you know, like,
yeah,
we are surrounded by good, holy men that don't need that. They need our prayers first and foremost. They deserve our respect. And not in the sense of, like, oh, this poor guy, like, you know, like, we honor them for who they were, for who they are. But I think that we also need to, this is something I struggle with, is that I always think my ideas are better. And so
Steph,
respecting a man, it's not to say, like, let me show you how you can do that better. As if I were to have insight on what it takes to be a man, you know? And
totally.
I think that's why I'm so, like, put off by this, like, new idea of feminism, is that I never feel like I need to put anyone down to make myself feel better. If anything, I want to encourage the people around me. And I even think about my sons. Like, I would never want someone to make them feel less than, or feel like they are not needed or not valued, or that they are incapable of filling any void or any role.
Yeah.
That they are very capable of. So I think it's the touchy subject, obviously, because we've gotten to the point where we think that empowering women means discarding men.
Yes.
And it's not the case at all.
Okay, Megan says, I've been on a journey, especially interiorly with my husband the past few years, to find ways that I can let him lead and say yes to him that I would naturally want to influence or control. The fruit of it has been so much love, including his ability to cherish me and my ability to receive it. So true. Megan and I were just talking about this yesterday in a different context, that when we choose to like honor, respect, mm-hmm. seek out like a man and like honor him by our openness to his way of doing things or serve, choose to serve basically, that it's not so heavy. But when we're like in this battle mm-hmm. of trying to like compete and win out, that's where the tension and the frustration comes. Jean, I loved your comment. I think you're talking about in regards to what John Mayer said. If Eve just said that, Adam, like Adam, what do you think we should do? Can you imagine?
I need to say that.
I think that's like a deep, more. Deep reflection.
Wow.
Like she didn't turn to him. She didn't value his, and you know, there's so much nuance and I'm certainly not a biblical scholar here.
Wow.
It would have, he could have taken initiative. So many things are not on the page, you know? But imagine that posture apart. Like, mm-hmm. Adam, what do you think we should mm-hmm. do? Adam will know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm feeling very unsafe. And something has been presented to me that's different than what God said to us. So what will Adam say? What would Adam do? Yeah.
This past week, I was, like, really encouraged to set up a prayer corner in our room.
Cool.
And I'm very excited about it. It looks so cute. Like, I've never had a prayer space in my mm-hmm, house. Mm-hmm. I've always said, like, I can pray anywhere. And there's just, like, religious stuff all over my house.
Sure.
But I think it was a Lent thing, like a nudge. Like, and we made a prayer corner, waking up early, going to that corner. And I asked my husband to hang something for me where I can, like, attach prayer cards. Mm-hmm. And he did it for me. He did it right away. And it looked really great. And then he got into, like, helping me organize the rest of it. And then at one point, he's like, you could have totally done that yourself. You know, you could have. Like, why did you ask me? And I was like, because I know you could do it.
Yeah.
Like, I knew you could do it. And it was nice to know that you were doing this with me instead of me just kind of having my own thought, my own plan.
So isn't it just a relief to not have to do everything yourself?
It is a huge relief.
My goodness.
It is a huge relief. But it's also like, I know that like he's hung everything up in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I could figure out how to do those things, you know? So it's also almost like it's also like an encouragement to him. Like, I see that you can do this around our home.
Yeah.
So why not ask you to do it? Like, I could have nailed that. It was a smaller thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the sense, like, I just wanted him to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm often struck by how much it does for my husband when I ask his opinion on something or acknowledge that he does something better and can show me.
Wow. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, I've been working on a project with a man, and it has been very enlightening because I am coming face to face with how deep my tendency and desire to control is. Mm-hmm. My main point of frustration with this person who's a dear friend and like mentor, like I deeply respect him, is like, just do what I want you to do. And like, I'm kind of shocked at how deep this is in me.
Yeah.
And you know, that could be, some of that could be, I've just been single and like, you know, and I have a lot of autonomy in my work. It could just be some of those things mm-hmm. too. I'm not trying to blame everything on feminism, although I think we probably could blame a lot on feminism. Oh, what does Lonnie say? Lonnie, I just want to sit at your feet this morning and always.
I think every wife should make the decision to accept the gifts.
Wow.
Her husband gives her instead of criticizing them, receiving from him if so.
So good.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, cultivating gratitude for who a person is and what they do, even if it's differently you know, done differently than you would have done. Wow.
Okay. I think.
Go ahead. No, please.
I was just saying, I think that we need to also touch on, like, we have been hurt.
Okay.
You know, and
this is very good.
It's difficult sometimes to want to honor someone or even men when we've felt constantly let down in the past. So I don't want to paint the picture that it's so easy and every guy around you like deserves your praise. Like it's also a healing journey that the Lord invites us to take, because there's no like need to carry that or foster that, but it will be so on like the Lord's time. And we don't want to disregard that that's also a very real thing for a lot of us.
I feel like I need to sit down. That was so important. But okay, do we want to talk about that? Because I don't want to rush in with like an answer to that. I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah,
but something came to mind that I want to share.
Yeah,
do you want to stick with this? What do we think?
Let's stick with it, and then after your thought, okay, we can move over to the app.
No, let's move over to the app before I share this.
Okay. Peeps, this is your 2-minute warning if you're joining us on Facebook or YouTube.
30-second warning. We've been hanging out over here.
Head on over to the app and please
keep
this convo going with us. We love your input. We'll see you then.
Come on. Come on, Mariana. See you on the app. Okay, here's the thing. I was dating a man recently who was a wonderful guy, loved the Lord, and I have a deep desire to be led. Like it's a non-negotiable for me. I want to be led by a man. Not that I'm not capable, I'm perfectly capable. I've been running my life. I am tired. You know what I mean? Like anyway. So in all of the ways, like in areas where I wanted to strive to move things forward or to communicate, I mean, it was an absolute passion. It was such a deep suffering to wait and let him lead through his own stuff, some of which I knew, a lot of which I'm sure I didn't know. And ultimately, we did come to this place, you know, of saying like, what do we want here, you know? And I just gave him like permission to like think and pray and ultimately to take the lead. And he ultimately discerned that this relationship wasn't leading toward marriage. And it was very disappointing and like heartbreaking in a way. The timing was not great. It wasn't done perfectly. But as I prayed about it, I felt the Lord say, I gave you what you wanted. Like I learned to let a man lead despite how painful that was for me to like sit back, and I'm learning how to let a man lead. And when I told him, I trust your discernment, that was true. That wasn't just a line. And I do trust, like, I know that was the right decision and he was courageous enough to make that decision. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was a relief to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot there, but so ultimately I think why I thought of that is to say that I trusted this man. I do trust this man, but more importantly, I trust God in this man. And so the Lord took care of me through this man, even though it wasn't what I thought I wanted, but is definitely what I needed and even wanted, but couldn't admit to myself because I wanted, you know?
It goes to the comment that Emily just made, not only calling on my husband, but also trusting in him through trusting God to guide him, if that makes sense, which makes me think maybe that's the issue in general.
Yes.
Like it all comes down to our trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
If we fully trusted him, we probably would lean on the men in our lives easier, because we would know in the end, God's got it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think you are getting at the heart of it, because if I don't have to rely on someone else's discernment, if I don't have to trust someone else, I can say I trust God, but I can still take it into my own hands. True. I can still take care of myself. But when I'm actually surrendering, I use that term loosely, but like when I'm putting a decision or like a desire in the hands of another person, that makes tangible something that oftentimes, like in the spiritual life, is intangible.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember there was someone very close to me, a man very close to me, who hurt me. And there was like a loss of loyalty and trust there. And the whole healing journey was its own thing. But I remember coming out of it knowing, just feeling, and maybe this was just total grace from the Lord, because I just clung to him, that I very clearly knew the Lord was saying, like, do you trust me? Do you trust me that if we move forward, I'm not going to let something like this happen to you again? Do you trust me that you're going to be okay and I'm going to protect you?
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, like it totally took, again, that healing and that forgiveness for that other person, reconciliation, whatever that looks like, was an aside. The Lord was inviting me to trust him that he is my good father who will be protecting me. And that was some unpacking that had to be done there, I think. But ultimately knowing, like now I know, like, no, the Lord will really take care of me. And there's things that I'm going to go through that I'm going to feel like, I didn't want to go through this. Like, why didn't you protect me from that?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to say, no, hold on. There's a reason why you're going through this right now.
Yeah.
Aubrey says, it gets so hard because I find the men in my family sometimes get resentful towards how much we girls ask them to do. The burden of being the ones we always look to. Like, maybe that's just a personal heart thing for them. But I'm always tiptoeing to know what to do.
Interesting. Oh. I do. I feel like that is the other side of the coin. I feel like men inherently feel a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
To protect and provide, to take care of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think the resentment part does get into like heart territory, or like their own deeper identity stuff of like, I don't actually feel like I can hold all of this together. Mm-hmm. And yet like the requests keep coming.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think if we just live like, it's so hard, but like, yes, we also need to not be just saying, do everything for me.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also, I think it's just living our lives in the fullness of how we were created to live. Like, if I know my gifts and talents, I know what I'm being called to do, then I can trust that this person, I can ask this person to do these things and not say, oh, I need to give you more. I need to give you these things that you need to take off my hands.
Right. Yeah.
Because when we're coming of a place of like the comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We start comparing, we start getting resentful.
Totally.
And that can be
keeping tabs.
Yeah. Keeping tabs is just.
Yeah. That is not the Lord.
Don't do it. Yeah. That's not the Lord for sure. Imagine if he kept tabs with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was like, hey, you still owe me all of these things you promised me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
I think for men, I'm kind of spitballing here, but I think it has to be mutual, right? Like our desire and our taking initiative to serve has to be there too. And I think, all of my examples are about dating, but I remember dating this one guy years ago. And like when we were leaving dinner, I'd like thanked him for dinner, thanked him for holding the door. And he was like, thank you for saying thank you. Like so often, you know, like it's like I could see his chest like puff up, you know, like I don't expect him to do that. I mean, to be honest, I do expect him to do that, but that doesn't make me not grateful. Yeah. It makes me extremely grateful that he is such a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And so I want to thank him for that. You know, I think in general, gratitude words are big for men, no matter the love language.
1,000%. Yeah. Yeah. And we get a little comfy and we stop saying thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
Hi, Mariana.
A great resource on this topic is the podcast, The Catholic Gentleman.
Okay. Oh, cool. Thank you. Yeah,
check it out. Let's see. In those natural moments of frustration with my husband, like, why doesn't he just blank? It's amazing how the Lord just keeps directing me to St. Joseph, asking St. Joseph literally daily to lead my husband to God's love, to a vibrant prayer life, to what he needs more than what I want. what I think he should need, to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. St. Joseph has just, I mean, this is the reason why we're talking about him today. Like, he, entrusting the men around us to St. Joseph's care is just so important.
Yeah.
It's so, again, we as women will never fully understand, like, the heart and even the mind of a man.
Totally.
So entrusting them to someone who does, priceless.
Do you know, okay, I'm kind of thinking out loud here, so forgive me if this comes out a bit, whatever. But I don't think that we see the reality of masculinity unless we take a feminine posture with them. Oof. As long as we are taking care of ourselves and like getting the things done, and like we're kind of impenetrable in this. We're not talking caricatures. Like, I'm not talking about like being a damsel in distress, but so long as there's no room in our lives and they're met with like a hardness, you know, there's no need for them to exhibit strength for women or the world. Sure. And so I think there has been a lack of opportunity in a way for men to like have their own strength and goodness and identity like called upon.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about like different cultures over the centuries, like had rites of initiation, like,
yeah.
And I just don't think that we have that in our like concrete jungle, you know?
Yeah.
Which is why relationally, I think it's so important that we open ourselves. Like, there's an opening in the feminine heart. We named a podcast this, but years ago with Father John Burns, but it was actually a very deep reflection for me, a word in prayer about a blooming heart. The Lord said to me, your heart will bloom with a good man. And I've experienced that there's something in me when I know this is like a good man, that my heart like blooms, it opens, it relaxes, and I'm more myself. Like I am in full bloom around good men. And I think the same is true. It's probably not the best analogy. I'll have to think about it, but like masculinity blooms, grows,
thrives.
Sure.
Shines.
Yeah. In the face of when met with femininity, you know?
I mean, I just think of like Adam and Eve. Like, it was just not good for man to be alone. Like, we are, and even not, again, like, this isn't just for married couples, but like, we complement each other so well. And this world was literally made for us to be in this community together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just, we let men be fully alive when we ourselves as women are living fully alive. You know, we're living. We're living the gospel. We're living to what Jesus is asking us to do. And I think that what you mentioned earlier is like having this feminine posture is so important. And it's very humbling for me to say, Lord, teach me how to have a feminine posture. Like I need to undo what I've been formed by.
Yes.
These voices that are not yours, Lord, to compliment man. I've been formed by doing things myself, being very opinionated, being a go-getter. Don't rely on anyone. Two, I just want to compliment the men around me, not just my husband, all of the men around me, to be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
And not because, oh, I feel sorry for them, but because they're so good and they're so gifted. Like, I think of my brother, and I'm the youngest of five, and my brother's the oldest, and he had four sisters. And just the way that, like, my brother loves us and has always, he's shown us the example of how to be taken care of and respected while my dad was away working, you know, and he's not the closest in his faith, but he has allowed me to, that doesn't diminish how good of a man he is in my life and the characteristics that I see in him. That I just love. Like, again, I'm thinking of all of the men around me and how blessed I am to even see them, you know, working towards their full potential.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Even like seeing like my friends' husbands and just like how much they love their wives and their families, or even seeing like my husband's friends. Like, they're just so like, I don't know. It's cool. There, we have really good men around us, even priests and like seminarians, all of these men around us that can totally benefit from our affirmation, our gratitude, and our prayers.
Yeah, I think I think I've realized this in other respects, but I think when we compliment and encourage men, we're really acting in the prophetic office of our baptism. We're seeing the good in them and we're calling that forth. Mm-hmm. So, and you'll see their posture change. They become aware of their own potential because someone else called it forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Celia said, it's hard for me to be feminine. I want to be led by men, and St. Joseph is helping me by loving me whole again. But how, any advice on how to be more feminine?
Wait, I'm curious your thoughts about this, Steph. Jean, that's very good. JP2's Theology of the Body is the answer to understanding and resolving culture. 100%. That's very good.
Yeah, I just think of asking the Lord to teach you how to be more you, more feminine, the way that He wants you to be. And there's no like black and white that's definition of femininity. That's just like, so Lord, how do I need to be more feminine in like my respect, like in the way you made me?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking a lot of things, but I want to share what Megan said here, because I know this has been powerful. Megan said she and her husband did a JP2 Healing Center marriage retreat, and it was wild to learn how we perpetuate each other's core wounds. Oof. Women try to control or manipulate or retreat out of fear that we're undesirable. So that's the core wound for women, that we're undesirable. Whereas men belittle women or escape responsibility out of fear that they are inadequate.
Sad.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
Sharing our wounds and what we're really feeling brought us to a whole new understanding and respect for one another. It's incredible. Hmm. It's so brave, Megan.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Do you want to read the next comment? I'm trying to focus.
Well, I would, but your sleep is blocking it. Lexi says, Steph, I love what you said about seeing the men around us caring for us. Masculinity is so beautifully virtuous, and we are attracted to virtue. Amen. It's such a joy to witness in the men around us. Okay, I'm going to, little side story of Beth Davis.
Ooh.
I once saw a movie. It was like a Catholic documentary, and there was a man in it who was single just for the sake of, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't married. And I was so drawn to his character in this movie. And I sat in the theater looking at him. And I, in this moment of clarity, I said to the Lord, help me to be more attracted to virtue than charm.
Ooh.
Because I'm very attracted to charm. I should say historically, I was very attracted to charm. Because I'm like an ENFP and I'm very charming. Mm. And I can just like vibe with someone. And then we're like off to the races. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love a little banter. Love it. Live for it. And now I'm like, yeah, God's really answered that prayer. And I am deeply attracted now to virtue more so. Sophia, it's so true. We are very charming. Anyway, being attracted, it's a great prayer to pray, like to, for the grace to be attracted to virtue rather than charm.
Wow. Yeah, I like that. Gotta throw that one in.
It's kind of niche, but
yeah. Trust is hard. Being open or feminine is hard, especially when you've been raised in domestic violence. I've never had a close relationship that didn't end in abuse, manipulation, or betrayal. I've had to learn the hard way that if I want to ever love or trust a man again, have to learn to trust the Lord and let Him love me first. That's it.
That's it. It's just Him. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to rush anything. The Lord cares first of all about your heart, not your behavior or your posture toward men. He cares about your heart. Yeah.
Claire, I love your question. How do you balance allowing yourself to be led by a man when you know that man isn't necessarily walking with the Lord the way they should be?
Okay, Claire, this is a nuanced question.
Is it the way they should be, or is it the way that we want them to be?
That's not where I was going, but that is interesting. I would ask, what is the relationship? If you're speaking about your husband, that is different than if you're speaking about someone at work mm-hmm. or a friend or even a boyfriend. And I would say, if you can't trust him to lead and you are not married to him, you should not be dating him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be my,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to date someone that I don't trust his discernment. Now I have seen husband. Okay, Claire. So I have walked with women whose husbands were not practicing, and I have seen them very gracefully and beautifully walk in obedience to their husband, even when he wasn't there yet with the Lord. But the way that she loved him and encouraged him opened a path for him to want to step into that role of like being a leader.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have felt this before, and it's also, I think it, we need to be careful because it can be a temptation to start allowing the enemy to come in and take one thing that might be a true issue mm-hmm. and make it so big wow. that now we start to just, there's this ripple of like yeah. lies that we start believing about our husbands or our significant others. Like I loved your question because I've felt that before.
Mm-hmm.
I've felt like, can you just be the spiritual leader of our family and like call me out when I'm being spiritually lazy, or, you know, instead of me being like, all right, like being the one. And it really took entrusting him, my husband specifically, to the Lord. And then again, it goes back to like what I mentioned earlier, that grace to say like, oh, he's going to lead me, but not the way I want
this
him
is it.
To lead
okay,
me.
This is it.
The Lord is preparing him to lead me and our family the way he's been called by the Lord and destined by the Lord to lead me. Oh,
and according to his gifts and personality.
Amen. And yeah. so then it's like the scales are falling from my wow. eyes, and I'm seeing my husband has all of these gifts that wow. I've not even been paying attention to because he's not showing off the gifts that I want from him.
He doesn't pray the same way you do.
Yeah. And yeah. praise the Lord for that, because yeah. my husband prays so beautifully.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of like giving them to the Lord, consecrating your spouse to the Lord.
Wow.
And saying like, can you just let him be who he needs to be? Give me the patience, give me the eyes to see him through your eyes so I can appreciate who you have given me, Lord, to lead, to be led by.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I kind of want to follow. I think that was so good, Steph, but Claire, first of all, I just want to pray for you. Also, I want to zoom in on that picture so bad. What's happening in your cutie picture?
No, sir.
Is he Catholic? Does he have any faith? I would just be curious about that. And what can you encourage, you know, right now?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But also I think that we also need to point out or find ways to encourage like them to step up a little bit if they need to, you know, but I would discern.
Yes. It's a yes and, mm-hmm. right? It's a both and, because I think we can just own that women are more naturally faithful and religious than men. It's the way our souls were made. Feminine souls are naturally more receptive to God. I've heard priests say that, mm-hmm. like that's not some like feminist propaganda. In fact, every soul, like if you read theology, if you read philosophers, like every soul is feminine because every soul receives God.
Mm.
Isn't that beautiful? Mm. So women are more naturally disposed to faith. So I want to say that first of all, Claire, and to anyone else who's just a little discouraged, like, okay, my husband goes to mass with me, but like, that's about it. Or my husband does not get it when I talk to him about prayer, or, you know,
yeah.
we can be frustrated, but remember, women are naturally more disposed to and inclined to faith than men.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be surprised or discouraged when his faith practice looks different. That doesn't make him unable to lead.
Yeah.
And also, leadership is not a husband or a man's leadership is not specific to spiritual leadership. There are other areas that you can trust him with, your finances, with the kids' schedules, mm-hmm. with what he wants for dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are other ways that you can reference and honor his preferences. Yeah. What movie we watch, you know what I mean? And again, not swinging over to the extremes of being a doormat and never sharing our preferences, but serving, mm-hmm. like genuinely, joyfully serving and honoring the person that you love by honoring their preferences.
Yeah. It's so funny. And I want to say this because my husband is amazing and I don't want to paint a bad picture of him. Like, I had this frustration of, why aren't you being the spiritual leader, mm-hmm. the way I want you to be?
Yeah.
But my husband has been the one that has taught all of my kids how to pray. And he's the one that does night prayer with them. And he's the one that taught them the Hail Mary. And they sing worship songs. Like, I have the cutest video. You know, my husband's a musician. And, like, they are learning how to pray through him. Isn't that crazy? And if I imagine if it was the way I wanted him to pray. Like, he wouldn't be doing these things with my kids the way he's already doing them. Yes. And has always done them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheryl's comment's amazing here. I used to be bitter that my husband wasn't the spiritual leader of our family. Now, 12 years later, because of him, I'm Catholic.
What?
He was the whole time, and I didn't even know it. God is doing things that we don't see.
Amen.
This is circling back. Like, we have to be praying for these men in our mm-hmm. lives. And that's not, again, I know we've talked a lot about romantic relationships, marriage. I've talked about dating. But this is true of our fathers, brothers. Yes. This is true of priests. Like, I really try to defer to priests. When we go into an event, I'm like, how do you like to do that, mm-hmm. Father? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just good to get in the habit of honoring men.
I think of, like, my dad. And when I pray for him, I ask that he gets encouraged to still be, like, the man that he is. He's getting older, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I just pray for him to still feel like his identity is still him, even though he's starting to slow down a little bit. And we want him to slow down a little bit.
Right, right.
But even, like, even our fathers, like, how can we pray for them in their masculinity as they're aging, as they're getting older? Or, like, a grandfather, a loved one that we have.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe we could just end. I'm sure there are so many more comments. And honestly, I want to keep talking about this. But I love what Mariana said above. Do you want to?
I have seen so much fruit in having Our Lady intercede for men in such real ways.
Yeah.
I'm always wondering how she would speak with the apostles. Ooh, especially after they all denied her son. She knows. She really gets it.
Yeah. I once heard at a women's conference a woman reflect on Mary at Pentecost and how she didn't present herself as the only disciple that did not. Well, I mean, John and Mary, John ran away other than Mary Magdalene, who didn't abandon the Lord, and how it would have been natural for her to rise up and say, no, actually I knew my son best. I stayed with my son and lord that over the disciples. But instead, she was just so humble. And
she was a mom to them too.
Yeah. And I can only imagine how much she let Peter lead and was a part of the healing of his masculinity and feeling that he failed Jesus. Like, can't you imagine what her forgiveness meant to him?
Everything.
And how he was able then to step forward, not only through the power of the Holy Spirit, but through her feminine forgiveness.